Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
And we're back into the book of Exodus, as you might have guessed. If you've not been around, we've been working our way through the book of Exodus, discovering what God has for us. There's a book which we've been using as part of that called Exodus for Normal People. So most of you will be okay on that one. I crack that joke every time I preach from this book, don't I? So it doesn't go down any better each time. So, and we're about, you know, what appears to be almost halfway through Exodus. So far that we have learnt how Moses was born, how Pharaoh tried to kill all the male children, how Moses, though, escaped for that because he was rescued and raised in the palace. And we've learnt how, though, when he grew to an adult, he murdered an Egyptian and ran away to Midian, where he met his wife. But like all good film scripts, a new story came along. God called him to do a job for him. And despite Moses pushing back quite hard, he did eventually agree to do this job, this calling to God. That sounds familiar for some of us who've got dog collars around our neck. And then, of course, he went to Pharaoh and introduced Yahweh, the great I Am, to him. And we learned that actually Pharaoh's heart was hard, not because it was necessarily hardened by God, but actually because he chose to turn away. And that all brings us to where we are today. And today we're going to do chapter 11 through to almost chapter 14, halfway through 13. It's the final part of the first movement of Exodus. Last week, Polly talked to us about 9 of the plagues. And we heard all about those. Well, today we meet the 10th plague, but perhaps more importantly, we come across the Passover. And we begin to see Egypt, actually, the Israelites leave Egypt. In today's section, actually, there are sort of 4 parts to our part today. Exodus 11 is mostly where we talk about the final plague, the death of the firstborn. Then in Exodus 12 to 1 to 28, God gives the instructions for this Passover, this meal that the Jewish people have that becomes, for us as Christians, our Holy Communion. And then in 12:29, we see the gods of Egypt, the false gods of Egypt, give in, and the Pharaoh give in, and actually turn to God and ask for a blessing from him. Finally, we see another reminder of the Passover. So let's deal briefly with this final plague, the death of the firstborn, before we move on to the Passover, which is actually the meat of what I want to look at today for our short time together. Initially, I want to take you right back to chapter 4 and remind you what happened. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says, Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go, so he may worship me. God's people are his firstborn, but you have refused to let them go, so I will kill your firstborn sons." This all seems a bit much for us with our modern sensitivities, but actually we have here God warning them. Before any plagues, before any demonstration of God's power, we have God warning Egypt, "If you continue to propagate evil on my firstborn, I will turn that around on you." He sends a warning. But if evil is insistent on propagating evil on God's people, then God can turn to them. It's not his normal way of operating. I said that when I spoke a few weeks ago. God's normal way of operating is out of love. He comes to us. He came to Jack. So he first loved Jack before Jack turned to him. But actually we know that if evil insists on propagating itself, then God can turn on them. And we read, don't we? "Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. From the firstborn son of the Pharaoh who sits on the throne, there will be a loud wailing in Egypt." Again, not his normal mode of operation, but something he can be drawn into. But interestingly for me, there's a lot that goes on here. Because God first warned them, And then in chapter 12, we see that he sets up a substitute. He sets up the Passover. He says, actually, there can be a substitute for this death of the firstborn. If you paint the blood of a lamb on your door, there will be a substitute. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on the gods, small g, of Egypt. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. I am the great I am, is what he's saying. The blood will be a sign in your house where you are, and I will see your blood and I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you where I strike. An opportunity for mercy. And theologian Tim Mackey suggests that this isn't just for the Israelites. Actually, he suggests that in reading the original scriptures, this is for anyone who turns to God. The Egyptians had an opportunity to turn to God. Anyone who turns away from the false gods of their society to the great I Am, Yahweh, will receive mercy. Which is, again, is interesting. Because when Pharaoh said, we will kill all the male Israelite children, there was no opportunity for mercy. When Pharaoh and Egypt enslaved the Israelites, there was no opportunity of grace and mercy. And yet, we see God first give them yet another opportunity to turn to him. There is an opportunity of mercy and grace from God. Then in the next part of our reading, we hear the Egyptians give in to God. So they suffer the pain of evil being turned upon them because they don't turn to God. And they give in to him. And Pharaoh says to the Israelites, take your flocks and herds, as you have said, and go away. And then he also asks God to bless him. So he finally recognizes the great I Am as being the God. And says, will you now bless me? We know the story a little bit, don't we? We know that doesn't stay for very long. We'll get onto that shortly. But the final part of our readings today is about the Passover. And that's the key part for us. So this Passover happens, but actually there's a call from God to remember the Passover. The Passover is the evidence of God's mercy on all people. For anyone who turns to him, there is mercy to be had. With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, he says, remind your sons and daughters. With a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt and out of slavery. Whew, that's a lot I've gone through quickly there, isn't there? So, and go home and read, if you haven't already read these few chapters, go home and read them and actually see that I'm not making this up. There is opportunity after opportunity for Egypt to actually turn to God. But they insist on continuing to propagate evil. And if you want to remember this all in one simple verse, just read 12:12. Ignore my typo up there. Read Exodus 12:12. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. That is a summary of all that's gone before, all that we've done over the last few weeks. I am the Lord. When you see Lord in capitals, it means Yahweh. I am the one. I am the Lord. That's the summary for you. And we get to this point often in our discussions or our sermons, don't we, when we say, well, that's great. It's a good back script for a movie or for a kids' book. It always amazes me that they do kids' books out of Moses. But it's a good backstory. But so what in 2024? And it's a question I often ask. What difference does this make tomorrow morning? When you're back at work, when you're looking after the grandchildren, when you're doing whatever it is you want to do tomorrow morning, what difference does this make? And I think actually this week it's more obvious than perhaps it has been before. Because to me, what has gone on with the Passover points directly to Jesus. There are so many allusions to Jesus. From the Passover to the remembrance of the Passover to the Last Supper and, of course, towards our Holy Communion. And There's an allusion to Jesus. From Jesus being the firstborn of God to the firstborn we heard here as well today. Jesus is our ransom for death. We don't depend upon a lamb on the door. But the lamb, of course, from the Passover, is another allusion to Jesus and the grace we receive from God. The lamb is an image of grace available to the Israelites and the Egyptians during Exodus, but actually Jesus is the ultimate image of grace for us here today. And then there's the blood as well. The blood on the door, of course, the allusion of that is actually the blood of the lamb. But actually, I think the door, for me, as I was praying this week, the door itself, for me, is an allusion to Revelation, where Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears me and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me." Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Today, Jack opened the door. But Jesus stands at the door and knocks for all of us. He doesn't force himself upon us. He waits for us to open the door. And I see that allusion in this reading today as well. If anyone is willing to turn from false gods of society, from what society says that life is all about, and turn to Jesus and say, "I really have no clue entirely who you are, but I see that you are God. Take me, let me learn more of you." If anyone's willing to do that, then Jesus says, "Open the door." And so we don't forget that promise of grace. Of course, we remember it around the communion table. We really should have had communion today, shouldn't we? We remember it around the communion table every week here in the parish, either at St. Thomas's or here. We have communion as a remembrance of the fact that Jesus died for us. That's what difference Exodus makes in 2024. It's the same remembrance that God commanded of the Israelites to remember the Passover that we have with Jesus around the table. "I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you," he says. "Do this in remembrance of me." We're commanded to remember Jesus in that as well. Exodus is relevant in 2024 because we have our own Egypt and we have our own slavery that we need to get away from. And we have our own parcel over lamb in. For those who are willing to do what Jack did today and turn to him, he is waiting for us. Which means actually, I think when we take communion, we need to just pause and remember that. It's a sacred moment when we receive that communion. Whatever you believe goes on in that moment, I don't know. For me, actually, it really doesn't matter. It's the remembrance of what God did for us on the cross. But I think there's more to it than that, isn't there? Because that can't be the only point when the remembrance of what Jesus did on the cross for us is shown. I want to ask the question today, do we see that remembrance in our life? Can others see the remembrance of what Jesus has done for us in our lives? Or do we have a Pharaoh heart that's hard? It's nice on a Sunday, we celebrate, we shout, we sing, we baptize. Then the Monday morning, it doesn't really matter where we were yesterday. I don't believe that of most of you. I don't believe that of this place. That's not what I see in this church. But sometimes it's good to have a reminder. This must make a difference. When when you go through a selection panel to be ordained as a vicar in the Church of England, you do a little 5-minute spiel to see that, you know, what you feel about. My 5-minute spiel was, Monday morning must be different. It's got to be different, isn't it, guys? Otherwise, what's the point? I've said this before, but we could just have a good club here and a great Sunday morning celebration. But if Monday morning is not different, then we haven't truly softened our hearts and chosen to follow Jesus. So if that's you today and you think, actually, I've had enough of it not being different, I'd love to chat with you about that. love to chat and encourage you that actually life can be different. Not that it's all going to be perfect again tomorrow morning, but actually that Jesus died on the cross for us, that we can get away from our Egypt, we can get away from our slavery and turn to Him.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.